Welcome to Fife's Pulpit, to our catechism studies. You've just heard the whole 100th tune to the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him and all creatures here below. Praise him, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Jesus in Matthew 28 says these words, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Our catechism question or questions today have to do with the Trinity. Question 5, are there more gods than one? Answer, there is but one, only one, the living and true God. Question 6, how many persons are there in the Godhead? Answer, there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one God, of the same in substance, equal in power and in glory. We now enter into a glorious mystery, into a place where understanding gives way to faith. It is important that we understand something, however, of the mastery of the Trinity. For the word Trinity is not used in Scripture, but the truth of the Trinity is clearly taught as we were reading the words of Jesus as he sent us out into this world to go in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. There are two important truths in Scripture. One is the unity of God, expressed in the fact that there is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The unity of God is expressed. Then the plurality of God, expressed in the fact that there are three who are God. Jesus, the Spirit who is one of the same, and the Father. Now we could look at texts that clearly show that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. And I think as Christians these things are well accepted amongst us. They are stated in the commission in Matthew 28 that we read. In the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. By the way, notice this does not say in the names of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, but in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But I want to, in this very, very brief study really, and interesting enough that the modern commentators on the Catechism themselves only spend maybe one or two pages on the Trinity, because they're frightened, of course, like every one of us, to try and explain the thing that cannot be explained at all but simply accepted. But I want us to look at two simple things. And I will not even attempt to explain the Trinity in terms that we might grasp. Some people say water and ice and steam and all those kind of things. But I want us to look at it, two simple things. And if that, it doesn't bother me if I don't understand all things. And then if we did, we would be exalted in our own pride, and God might cease then to be a mystery. As the wise old John Calvin said, we believe in order to understand, not understand in order to believe. And my cry so often, almost daily, now is becoming, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So I want to do two very simple things. Firstly, I want to read an early church statement about their understanding of the Trinity. It comes from the 4th century. And secondly, I want to show you very, very simply how the Trinity is important in our understanding of our salvation. Okay, now, you better hold on tight for this, because I'm going to read from the Athanasian Creed, the 4th century. Some say it was written by Athanasius, but others say, no, it was out of his time. It doesn't really matter. It was an accepted creed that the church took into its bosom and accepted about the Trinity. Now, some of these words are a bit kind of laborious, but I want you to just sit back and listen to what I'm reading to you and try and understand that the early church, although there were lots of controversies like the Arian controversy and others, too numerous to mention, about the Trinity, how they tried to define or deny certain persons of the Trinity. So the Athanasian Creed thundered into history and has been used. It's in the, I think, in the Church of England prayer book, and it's used throughout the centuries. The sad thing is today is that we don't really use these creeds, and we're worse off for it in many ways. Okay, are you ready for this? Listen to this. This is their understanding of the Trinity. Whosoever, oh, by the way, what I'm using here is the word universal. The Athanasian Creed uses the word Catholic, and I don't want you to misunderstand that. It really means universal. So I have put universal in the place of Catholic. Okay, let's go. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold to the universal faith, which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the universal faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. Also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Ghost is almighty, yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Ghost is Lord, yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by Christian verity, that is truth, to acknowledge every person by himself to be both God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the universal religion to say that there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made, not created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. See, there are different roles already coming out in these things. We'll go on to that a little bit later on. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is afore or after the other, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that in all things, as it is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. And therefore, we will be to be saved, we must think thus of the Trinity. And there we have it, the doctrine of the Trinity. It was actually quite clear, wasn't it? Really, if you think about it. Now let me show you this doctrine, how it affects our salvation. Let me go on a little bit more with the creed. where it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll come on to the doctrine of our salvation. It carries on. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and the man of substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God, perfect man, and a rational soul in human flesh, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, that is, in his saviourhood, in his saving work on earth. Although he is God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. One, not by conversion of the Godhead into the flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but unity of a person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, he sits at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And his coming all men will rise with their bodies and shall give an account for their works. That they have done good shall go unto everlasting life, and they that have done evil unto everlasting fire. This is the universal faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. There we are. That's the early church. That's the Athanasian Creed. I'm sorry it was rather long, but they didn't have televisions in those times and telephones to keep going off. They had time to concentrate and time to get things right. And we praise God in his mercy that they were able to do that. Now, what this is saying is that the Trinity defined is involved in our salvation, that the co-equal Son of God suffered for our salvation. And this is where it is important that we know and apply it today. There's more to this. To put it simply, it is revealed in Scripture that the Father decrees and chooses, governs all things, and plans salvation. It is then the Son, Jesus, who comes to a sinful, wicked, corrupt earth to procure the salvation that the Father had decreed and to die for those that the Father had given him. Then it is the Spirit, who is the person of one of the same, as Jesus says, works in us to convict, to turn, to grant repentance, breathe into us new life, which is a down payment of what awaits for us. Then, in heaven, God is all in all, as Christ delivers up the kingdom to him and takes his place with the Father. He subjects himself to the Father as Redeemer, not as God. He is co-equal, co-eternal, co-substantial as God. But God is the planner, Redeemer, and sanctifier of all of his elect. He planned it, he did it, and he applied it. So we do not worship three gods, but one God in three distinct persons, each involved in our salvation. Now, on a lighter note, which is really actually not light, it's terrible and awful, but it's almost laughable, but very sad. A well-known heretical prosperity gospel preacher in the United States said that he has discovered that there are nine persons in the Godhead. The Father has a Son and a Spirit. The Son has a Father and a Spirit. And oh yes, you've guessed it, the Spirit has a Son and a Father. And there is a total of nine of them altogether. And they all get involved in our salvation. How they do it is anyone's guess. As to who decrees the decrees of the Father, which Father, which of the sons dies, and which of the spirits applies. Actually, you know, the modern concept of that by these heretical teachers actually makes the doctrine of the Trinity very simple in comparison. The doctrine of the Trinity is incomprehensible to us, but how the Trinity works for our salvation is perfectly clear. A quote that I have quoted before, an old Puritan said, "The Father decrees, the Son dies, and the Spirit applies." And as someone added, "And the devil fought it, but thank the Lord I got it." And this is referred to by theologians as the covenant of grace, which we'll be looking at, God willing, in question 20, if God spares us that long, where all three, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, in eternity, agreed to work together to save us and to be merciful to us. Sometimes it's called the covenant of grace or the covenant of mercy. I think often the covenant of mercy extends more to the application of it rather than the planning of it. I may be wrong in that, but it seems to me that there is just a thin dividing line between the two. But so here we are. That is the Trinity. It is very simple and hard and profound to understand and difficult to understand. But I hope that's been of some help to you to know how the early church saw and understood the doctrine of the Trinity and how the Trinity is involved in your and my salvation. Because if we don't have the Trinity, if we don't believe in the Trinity, then we don't really have a salvation. We don't have a Father who decrees all things. Everything's just haphazard. We don't necessarily have a Son who dies for us or a Spirit who applies this death to our lives and regenerates us and is a down payment of that which we're going to receive in heaven. So it's been a very short study, I apologise, but here is very simply laid down the doctrine of the Trinity. How many gods are there, it says? Let me read it to you again. Are there more gods than one? There is but one, only true and living God. Question 6. How many persons in the Godhead? Three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and in glory. Thank you very much for listening. If it's been helpful for you, these things obviously you can read quite simply in many a good theological book or a good commentary all about the Trinity. But I hope it's been of some help to you. Let me know if it has. It would be great to hear from you. And now let me give you a Trinitarian blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you, both now and forevermore. Amen.